Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast with Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros. In this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode. And on this episode, we got Sam, who's been an entrepreneur for over a decade, and his company Schwego Media has seen great growth as a result of the pandemic, as his team is helping businesses transition into the digital world. Prior to running Schwego, Sam spent nearly a decade in the electric and gas sector and has a very interesting backstory, including success, failure, federal prison, and rebuilding of his reputation. So Sam, I gotta ask, what brought you to federal prison?
I'm smiling, but it's really nothing to smile about. I'll be 34 next week. I got involved in the electric and gas industry when I was young. I was about 23 years old when I sort of got involved in that business. You might be familiar with it in Canada. You have the ability to shop, you know, for a third party electric or gas supplier outside of your utility company. So that's been going on down here in the US for the last 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, where I live, was a newly deregulated state back in 2009, 2010. And I got involved, you know, in that industry right around that time. And it was really my first true, real business venture. I was too stupid to realize that the success I was having was not because of how smart I was. It was because of, you know, it was just right timing. Mm. And I was young and, you know, not that it's an excuse, but I let a lot of that, you know, go to my head. It became an egomaniac, you know, kind of became somebody I'm not really, you know, proud of. You know, not somebody I was really, you know, raised to be, you know, and at the time my partner and I, we were very young and, you know, fast forward a few years later and we find ourselves running this big company, you know, with all these employees. And we thought that, you know, excuse my language, but we thought our shit didn't stink, you know?
Right.
We got involved in a situation where we had, I won't get into all the details with you, but, you know, basically we promised, you know, to lock in power for like four or five really large customers. We promised, you know, that we'd lock in power prices at a certain price. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't really get the deal there based on where the market was. So, you know, instead of doing the right thing and telling the customers, you know, we can't get it there, we have to wait, or, you know, we, you know, kind of manipulated and only locked in certain parts so that we could get the deals done, thinking that, you know, we didn't do it intentionally, you know, I don't think we were trying to be malicious. I mean, obviously we thought that we could do anything and get away with anything, which is, you know, not a good attitude to have, but, you know, we basically only locked in certain components thinking that everything was going to be kosher. And then the components that we didn't lock in ended up being higher than what we had promised. And, you know, we committed fraud, you know, by doing that because we represented that we were locking it all in and, you know, to earn commissions and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it ended up being a big mess. And I was like 24 at the time, just getting ready to turn 25. And, you know, all of a sudden I find out that the FBI is investigating me.
Wow.
And it was scary. You know, in hindsight, I mean, and that's what landed me there, you know, and, you know, it was not fun. You know, it was a 3 to 4 year period, you know, of just like treachery and, you know, looking back on it, and I'm still making good on that, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not totally, you know, I finished my, you know, everything that I was sentenced and all that sort of stuff, but I'm still kind of paying some of those debts back, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, so it'll be with me, you know, for some time. I remember it's fresh, you know, but, right. you know, looking back on it, I think it was probably the best, life lesson, business lesson I've ever learned. You know, kind of taught me to slow down a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, be humble, be a little bit more humble, you know, not get ahead of myself and, you know, be, you know, brutally transparent and honest, you know, in every transaction. It's done a lot of good for me, you know, it created a lot of bad and, you know, I'm ashamed of it, but it's done a lot of good for me. I actually, believe it or not, I got back into the business, a few years after, all of that. Never thought I'd get back into that business. But I did. And I was, you know, in running, you know, and getting back into that business, I was very upfront with all my new customers about, hey, this is what I did. You know, if you have a problem doing business with me. And at first I was really nervous about doing that. It's a hard conversation to have with a customer you're trying to sell something to. But I realized that the honesty, you know, and the authenticity, like really, really goes a long way, you know? And, and that business has kind of, that business kind of really came to a screeching halt, you know, as a result of the pandemic. You know, so I've always had a passion for marketing and, you know, been involved in doing marketing stuff. And this business, Schwiego, has, you know, sort of been birthed and is growing as a result of the pandemic.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah. I really admire your honesty and your transparency with that. And I think that all the things that life throws at us, whether or not they're from our actions or it's just something that the world or the universe hands us, there's always those learning opportunities. And it sounds like you've really pivoted into that. And it sure is something that I imagine that would have been terrifying at 24, 25 years old to go through that, go into prison, come out. And basically, I can't imagine even as you're coming out, what your future is going to look like, right? And I think that it really speaks the resilience of somebody with an entrepreneurial mind to get back to where you're at today after having that in your past and the ability to open, like be so open about that, right? So I just want to let you know, I really admire that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. And I'm not like, you know, I'm not say get back. I'm not really like, I wouldn't say I'm ultra successful or anything like that. You know, I'm working and, you know, earning a living, but you know, I think that it's still going to be another decade or so before I really can put that behind me because, you know, I still have some debts to pay and all that. So I don't want to misrepresent myself that I'm some success story because I'm still in the process of redeeming myself, you know? And it didn't happen. And I want to correct, it didn't happen to me. I did it to myself. You know, I was a real a-hole, you know, honest to God, I really was. I turned into a somebody that I don't recognize. And I think my business partner too, he's not a bad person. He's a good person, but I think together we kind of just became like egomaniacs and, you know, we're driving around, you know, in nice cars and think we're all that. And, you know, we realized pretty quickly that we weren't, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's not something I wish on other people, But it's definitely, I think, something you can learn from and become more aware and a better person, you know, if you do it you look at it the right way.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so I'd love to talk a bit about mindset because, like, you must have a tough mindset to be able to move through that and even just face the judgment of being so honest and transparent with your story, right? Because I'm sure there's some people who hear it and they judge you based on your past, right? And when you're going through like your day-to-day in your current company, your agency, are there any like mental tricks or tactics that you're doing on a regular basis to kind of keep motivated and like persuade yourself almost to keep pushing and get yourself out of that hole that you may have, or maybe you still are in?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, actually getting into like the marketing, you know, an advertising industry has done a lot for me, you know, mentally, because when I always thought it was crazy because I got back into the electricity business and it was like the worst anxiety in the world. You know what I mean? Everything reminded me of the past. It was like PTSD, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I did that, but you know, where I found solace was in being honest, you know, because I figured like, hey, if I'm brutally honest with everybody and, you know, I dot every I and cross every T and do everything on the up and up, you know, I was so afraid of like making another mistake. You know what I mean? So that right. like the being like brutally honest is what like alleviated my anxiety, like, you know, in that business, you know, and definitely a lot of people judge you and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, what I found is when you own it, you know, and you're like, hey, I made a mistake, you know, I really screwed up. I think it means something that I was so young, you know, but you throw that out the door. I think that if you can own it and you're serious and it's not just like, you know, you're not just saying that, you know what I mean? I think that, a lot of that judgment goes away because everybody's got problems. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between them and me is my problems were in the newspaper. You know what I mean? Right. So I think that, you know, when you're open, you know, about, you know, some of your flaws and stuff like that, I think that it allows you to have more authentic relationships with people and some of that judgment goes away, honest to God. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that, you know, helped me. You know, today it's the same thing, you know, even though I don't feel, you know, when I got back into the energy business, I felt like an obligation, like if I was going to bring on a client, like, hey, this is what I did before, you know, in the energy business. You need to know this if we're going to work together, because I don't want you to think that I'm doing this to you. You know what I mean? If you find this out, you know, in the marketing space, I haven't been as brutally honest about that because, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, I'm moving past that chapter of my life. I don't need to constantly be bringing it up, but the same lessons are sort of like, you know, still stay, you know, mean something. You know, when I got into this, I decided like, I can't sell something if I don't know all the details, like the ins and outs. Like I read a bunch of books, you know, on different things to get really like technical, because I didn't want to recommend something to a client that wasn't like, I didn't want to take somebody's money and recommend something that I didn't think was actually going to work. Or there's so many of these marketing agencies out there that I think that are doing that. Mm-hmm. And I have a real problem with that. You know, I think that being true and honest and like, you know, we've had several scenarios where clients are looking to do X, you know, because they think that's the best idea for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think any agency in the world would have taken their money and done X for them. But I've had several situations in the last year where we've said, we don't think that's going to work. Mm. You know, we think that you should do this, which is, you know, makes us less money and, you know, but long term allows us to have, you know, a more honest relationship, you know. So we're constantly trying to really put our clients' interest, you know, before our own, you know, because I just don't feel it's all stems from me getting in trouble. You know, I don't want to ever, I was a selfish egomaniac, you know, manipulating, doing things for me. I don't ever want to be that guy again. You know what I mean? So, you know, if I were to just, you know, okay, yeah, we'll do this, even though in the back of my mind, or, you know, in my deep within my gut, I know that's not right for them. It makes me feel like I'm that old guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going there anymore. So, I think those lessons are shining through.
Yeah. I love that. And especially in this current climate with small businesses where, or at least ever since I've been involved, I don't know if it's always been like this, but I've been involved in the digital marketing space since 2015. And ever since I can remember, pretty much any small business I talked to that has hired a company has said, oh yeah, we've been ripped off. Right. Yeah. And they're not always ripped off. Sometimes they're like, they get in their own way. Maybe they start dictating the terms of what the agency should be doing. And then they get the results of like a non-technical person running the show. And like, there's many reasons why things don't work out sometimes. But at the end of the day, one of the biggest lessons I learned early on that helped me grow was honesty and integrity sells, right? And it's like, so different than the majority of those. Cause there's like, you can also build an agency through high pressure, high volume sales tactics, right? That works very well. You have a shorter life cycle and you don't have many happy customers.
Right.
You typically just hire on non-technical people selling things they don't understand, making promises you can't keep. Right.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we just brought on a sales guy. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah, no, absolutely.
And you know, I've been training him and you know, I said, look, any of these like online sales tactics that you know, there's all these like online sales gurus and all these sales books, right? I said, throw it out the window. Mm. You know, that's not what we do here. You know, in my opinion, as a sales, like to be a successful sales guy, it's product knowledge. Mm-hmm. You need to be an expert, right? Because we're selling to small business owners. I believe small business owners are some of the smartest people in the country, right? Because they're wearing so many different hats. You know, I know I was very savvy, right? So if some kid's calling me to sell me, you know, digital marketing from a call center in Florida, let's say, right? And yeah, because there's so many of them in Florida for some reason. But, and you know, chances were I knew more about it than he did,
right?
You know, and it's like, you have to be a resource. And I'm so sick and tired of like these sales guys that teach tactics and like, oh, if the customer says this, you say this, or, you know, how to overcome this. And, you know, it's like they're manipulative, you know, persuasion. It's like trying to convince somebody against their will to do something, where my opinion is if you are an expert at your product and you really understand your service from a technical perspective, and you know how that brings value or fills a need, sales is about talking to enough people to find people that have the need that you know that you can fill and explaining how you can do it. Overcoming an objection isn't a tactic. It's when someone says this and you truly believe that they're wrong, it's like, hold on a second. I don't think you're looking at it the right way. Based on what I know, this is how it works, right? Mm-hmm. It's natural. It's not, you know, there's no script. It's be yourself. Here's the knowledge, communicate it. You know what I mean? And I hate that. I've always hated that my whole life. You know, I think that like if you and I, if we both look at a picture of a house and then we're both separately asked to describe what that house looks like, you're going to describe it differently than me, but we're basically both going to describe the house. Right. So it's no different. Like why give a sales guy a script? He's reading like a robot, you know, on the phone or whatever it might be. And it's like, he doesn't know how to be a resource. He doesn't know how to bring value, right?
Yeah.
Understand how to describe your product, then describe it in your own words. You're going to do it differently than me. But at the end of the day, you're still going to be able to communicate how we can help the client, you know? And that's how deals get screwed up. And like you said, I think a lot of people, maybe they're not taken advantage of, but their expectations are wrong because the sales guy told them, promised them the world. And at the end of the day, you know, it's something that you can't deliver.
Yeah, right? For sure. Like that was pretty much like for probably 2 years, I was like the specialty of who I worked with was people who had bad experiences. And then basically like my background, education, everything, social work, right? So it was almost like this counseling process where it's like you rebuild their faith in digital marketing, you get them the results, and then they expand out their marketing budget with you as they grow, right?
Right.
And the one thing that I learned early on is like, if it was actually my very first client where it's like, we brought them on, signed them up. And like, I told them straight up, like, hey, you're literally our first paid client. Like we've been doing this, like, here's the results. They're like a family friend, like whatever. But I told them, I was like, I don't think like they wanted SEO. Right. And they were selling these like drawer things. And I told them, I was like, I don't think we're going to get search volume here. Like, I don't think it's even worth ranking for it. And then like the client was just like, no, let's just do it. Right. And like, because it was my first client, they were paying like next to nothing anyways. So, but it was one of those things where it's like, after that experience, it's like, okay, we ranked them. And then it's like, you're looking at the hits they're getting through those search terms and it's like next to none. Right.
Right.
And even though we're ranking for all these different keywords, right. So it's like that alone, it's like, okay, like always, like it was a lesson for me, like always go with the gut. If you're saying one thing, client's saying something else, if you know deep inside, it's like, that's not just worth your time. Just walk away. Right.
Absolutely.
And that situation was totally fine. The client was happy, whatever, like it was no big deal or anything, but it's still not a good feeling to put work in for a hardworking small business owner who's like busting their tail to build their business. And then it's like the work you're doing for them doesn't bring that result. Like I personally don't want to be the one delivering that type of work. Right.
Right.
So with the, with you guys, so what, with Schwego, what is your agency setup? Like, are you, you said you brought on a salesperson, like, are you still doing sales? Like, what does your role look like? And then what kind of team members you have?
Yeah. So it's, we have, three full-time people, myself, Rich, who's actually been one of my best friends for, I've known him for 15 years. Okay. And then another, full-time, salesperson. Mm. And then we have, three part-time, people that kind of just fill in, you know, as needed. Mm-hmm. So we're not, you know, we're not that big. I do a lot, you know, I kind of do it all. You know, I do a lot of the fulfillment myself, you know, on the back end. We have some pretty cool systems set up, you know, for the way that we fulfill, you know, for our clients. So I'm also working on making those systems better so that I don't have to do as much work, but I still am involved in sales and client management. You know, I brought on, three clients last month, you know, myself, Rich, eventually my goal with Rich is to have Rich take over the back end, you know, fulfillment of this business. He's slowly and surely learning this over the last 6 months or so. Okay. And he's good. That his background is more creative and, but he's somebody that has zero sales experience. And in the last year I've turned him, not me, but he's turned himself into a top-notch sales guy. You know, he brings in the majority of our clients. Honest to God, I don't even know what he says. I know what he, I know the message that he communicates, but I never told him what to say. It was funny that one time, you know, he was, you know, bringing in all these clients and I had to ask him, what are you saying to these people? You know, because I taught him the product and, you know, but he's communicating it on his own, which is, I think, a testament to what we were just talking about. And then, we have a new sales guy that's, that just got started about 3 weeks ago. That's doing pretty well. So majority of our clients are small businesses, mainly like home service contractors. So plumbing is like our big specialty. About 75% of our client base are plumbers. We only represent one, you know, per market. Right. So we don't compete with ourselves.
For in a geographic area, you mean?
Yeah. In a geographic area. So, plumbing, is the majority. We also do, towing, auto repair, you know, home improvement type stuff that that's our main, you know, those are, that's our main client base. We do have a few clients outside of that, that we're doing like more creative stuff for, but, you know, we feel that we can bring those people real value. I think the best success story that we have is we have a plumber client that's been with us just for about a year in Houston. And they were on page like our main specialty. We do paid ad management and we do website SEO, but our main product is to help local businesses rank higher in the Google map.
Okay.
So they were... Yeah, they were on like page three or four, you know, for everything when we first met them. They were missing a lot and, you know, not really active. You know, it took us probably about 6 to 8 months. We got them to page one pretty quick, but to get them towards the top, you know, it took us about 6 to 8 months. They're now in like the top 1 to 3 organic positions for 25, you know, search terms or keywords. That big storm happened in Texas back in February. And they went from doing, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 a month in revenue to that month, they did $120,000 a month in revenue. And they're maintaining six figures monthly since then, because they're really good people. They do good work. So the customers are coming back, they're getting referrals. It's not all a result of us. We didn't make the storm happen, but people found them, you know, because they're on that map. And, you know, our big thing is, you know, we want to know if what we're doing is having like a real, you know, financial impact. It's not just, you know, you're throwing a monthly service fee out the door. Like, it is what we're doing increasing revenue for you.
Yeah, that's really cool. And One thing in business that I'm a big believer in is that a lot of it, like obviously hard work, intention, action, all that. And then there's this huge element of luck, right? And had you not sold them on your services, done all that work to get them to that first spot or that first page, and then that storm happened, like that wouldn't have had that bump in customer referrals and people they've done business with and everything, right? If like take you out of that equation, the storm would have happened, they probably would have seen a bump, but it wouldn't have been as dramatic because people were just calling that first page, right? Everybody knows that's where the majority come from.
So it's exciting. It feels good to have, you know, to play a part in something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Patrick from a company called GridPane, he's the CEO. It's like a WordPress hosting software. And he has this, I can't remember his exact words, but it's in business, a big part of it is just staying alive long enough to get lucky. And I feel like that situation that you just described there is like the perfect description of that, that saying. That's really cool. So in terms of bringing in clients, actually, before we go on, how long has your agency been alive for?
So officially, so I've always done marketing work, you know, like kind of like ad hoc for people I knew, you know, that own businesses. I built a lot of websites and, you know, I've done social media marketing and you name it for a long time, you know, probably since dating back to 2015. But I didn't have like a business or anything. It was just me. So when the pandemic hit in March of 2020, the regulatory agencies that oversee the electricity and natural gas business, they put a ban on face-to-face selling in that business. Right. That's kind of how we were growing our business, sort of like an insurance sales guy. You know, we sold the businesses. Gotcha. So that put a screeching halt. I had the name Schwiego for years. I was trying to develop a mobile application where you could see like live streams of bars in college towns. So if you're sitting around like trying to figure out where to go, you know, you could see like what's happening. And the idea is like, you're sitting around with your buddies, you know, in your dorm room, say, should we go here? Should we go there?
Oh, yeah, interesting. Schwiego. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So I own Schwiego.com for the last, you know, 9 years or so. Gotcha. I always thought it was a pretty neat name. So when the pandemic happened, I said, I'm going to try to use my marketing skills to make some money here. I, you know, built a website and, you know, started doing a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. And then we formalized the company in July of 2020. So just coming up on a year.
Okay.
So we're not, you know, we're pretty new.
That's awesome. The current, like whenever I made that shift from a marketing company to a software company, it was actually in August. So we've been around for
The same time.
Yeah, that's really cool to see. And yeah, like right in the midst of a pandemic. And yeah, it's amazing how in demand marketing has been throughout this. Like in, I think it was March maybe, there was just some clients that we were working with and their sales just went through the roof. And it's like 10x, 20x, 50x, like those kind of in those, like, again, one of those things, it's like stay alive long enough to get lucky. Like if you're selling toilet paper,
right?
Record months for no reason.
It's funny. I have a real good friend who does e-commerce janitorial supplies, toilet paper, Windex.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you're talking, he does tens of millions of dollars a year regularly.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did during the pandemic, but I know his business was like triple.
Yeah, it's insane.
It was like, you know, sanitizer, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. And then the other interesting part was like one company, they do supplements, right? And it's like, they're getting this like huge spike in orders, but then they're getting supply chain issues because like in one case, like the military bought out their supplier for all their bottles to make hand sanitizer.
Right.
So it's like these issues you'd never think ever happen in a million years. Like who would think there'd be a shortage of bottles?
I know.
Like of all the things that you need to make that supplement happen, that's the last thing you'd ever consider, right? There's probably no contingency plan there.
Right.
And it's interesting seeing, because it's like you look at it and it's like, okay, so we, like, ultimately the solution was give people more, because like we had to just buy bigger bottles and we get more but sell the same thing, because you don't want to like go make all these like company-wide adjustments and start fulfilling all these new orders. So it's like took this thing that was like could have been a negative, spun it into a positive, took a bit of a loss for the company, but ultimately was able to kind of get through that situation, right? So you mentioned a lot of face-to-face with your other company. With your new company, it sounds like you have a great background in sales and you're definitely a people person, just talking to you, right? You're laid back, you're easy to talk to. With the current company, what is your process? Like, are you doing lead generation? Are you straight up cold calling people?
Yeah, for the most part, we're just cold calling. We have a little bit of a strategy as to like who we call. You know, we're looking for businesses that are doing certain things that we know we can help them, you know, if we see things that they're missing. So we have clients in like 9 states right now. In the US, we do have a few local clients. We actually have a few coming to the office this week, that we do, you know, a little bit more in depth, like create, like we're doing, product, demonstration videos for a local, their bike shop, like a mountain bike shop. So we're doing, you know, product demonstration videos of all the bikes and the, you know, the specs and the, you know, the benefits and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we can do that stuff. You know, we're shooting on site, so we can do that stuff when they're local. But for the most part, we're doing everything like this, you know, on via Zoom and, kind of, you know, across the country.
Gotcha. I love that. And then in terms of cold calling is one thing I've never done myself. When I probably 6 months into starting my agency, it's something I tried out and then it was like no experience with it ever. And did a few of them. I was like, oh, I'm not good at this. I don't like this.
It's tough.
Yeah. And then that's actually what helped me ultimately build my agency. Cause I was like, okay, I got to start generating leads through funnels basically. Right. And then we started getting deeper and deeper and deeper into that world. And that worked out okay. But like, there's always that thought in the back of my mind where it's like, if I could just suck it up and cold call, like business would be, lead gen would just be easier. Right.
Yeah. It's definitely not easy.
Right.
You know, these guys are calling, you know, 80 businesses, 100 businesses a day, something like that. Not every day. I mean, it's hard to stay consistent, but, you know, it's working. You know, our whole thing is like, we don't harass people, you know, if we don't leave messages and, you know, it's just like, we're looking to get the right people on the phone, you know, explain what we see, you know, what's wrong. If they'd like to hear more, we're pretty laid back about it. We're not like too aggressive, you know?
Gotcha.
And at the end of the day, we only look for, you know, one plumber in, you know, Atlanta, let's say, you know, or what, you know, so it's like, you know, we'll look at certain cities at first and then kind of, you know, make a list of people that we think we can help and, you know, we'll let them know, like we're looking for one. If you're like interested in seeing, you know, so in one city, we actually have kind of like a waiting list, believe it or not, because we're working with somebody and we have somebody else that wants to work with us, but you know, we can't do it, you know?
Yeah, I like that. It's such a smart scarcity, kind of like from the copywriting world, right? It's like, it's true scarcity. It's not this fake scarcity that's
it's
so
real.
Common.
It's real.
It's like, this is just is what it is.
We don't want to compete with ourselves. We want to put our full weight, you know, behind our client, you know, in that area, right? So,
yeah, I like that.
The truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that. We've done a bit of outreach on LinkedIn, and that's probably like the closest to kind of that approach. Well, I guess cold email as well, where it's like you're really in our experience, you're just looking for that person at the right time. It's like you're probably not persuading them to make a big marketing decision in our experience. We're just like, it's already in the back of their mind for whatever reason. Maybe they've been considering it for a while and then like you hit them up and they're like, yeah, I'm interested. Is that what you're finding, or are you actually like getting people on the phone and being like, oh, here's what SEO is and here's how it can help you?
What we find is that we were trying LinkedIn, like automated messaging and all that kind of, there's just so many people doing it. And email, there's just so many, I mean, I get so many emails a day from marketing companies, you know what I mean? So we're really trying to stand out. We know that if we can get them on like a Zoom like this, if they need help. Right. You know, because there's some companies we come across and we're like, what are we going to, there's not much we can do for them. They're doing a good job, right?
Right.
Unless we could do it for a better price than whoever's doing it for now, right? That would be the only value we could bring. But we know that if we can get, you know, a client, a potential client on like a Zoom, we're pretty successful, you know, at landing them, as long as, you know, it's within their budget and all that sort of stuff. So the hurdle becomes like, how do you get the meeting? And we just try to stand out. We try not to be like everyone else. You know, we try to, that's why we just do work the phones. We do have like an email system, but we've never closed one deal off of an email ever.
Oh, interesting. You
know? Yeah. Okay. So it's like, we get them on the phone and we just talk to them. Like, I'm talking to you here. It's not a sales pitch. It's, you know, I see that you're missing this, and this. You know, I'm sure you're probably missing some other things. If you want, I could do a full analysis. Let's get on a phone. Let's get on a call, Zoom call tomorrow for 20 minutes. I'll show you everything you're missing. Worst case scenario, at the end of the call, everything that I tell you, you can do yourself for free. You know, I'll explain our service. I'll show you success that we've had for other clients. If you think that, you know, it's valuable, maybe hiring us to do this for you, great. And if not, you could take everything that we're telling you and implement it on your own for free. You know, most of the time, if we can get the right person on the phone, you know, they're going to be willing to take our call, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's cool. And then, so as you're cold calling with, I'll speak from a bit of experience here. So with businesses, we find the more accessible the decision maker, typically the less qualified they are for bigger retainer type marketing services, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if it's the plumber in the field picking up the phone who owns the company, it typically, not always, but typically means that they can't afford like a call service, for example.
Yeah.
How are you getting around that? Like, is that, I imagine that's an issue, like where you're like getting a call center.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. So we stay away from the really big companies.
Okay.
Believe it or not. You know, our service, just kind of give you an idea. So we do all like the listings management and like citations and all that sort of stuff. We help them generate reviews. We have some systems for generating reviews. We respond to every review that they get on every platform. And then we also post daily, a daily piece of content on every social media channel. So five major platforms and their Google My Business.
Okay.
So we do that every day, 7 days a week. That's our main package. So we do that for $499 a month, you know, no contract. It's not like we're asking you to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, right? So most of our clients, what we found is our best clients are the guys that are still involved in the business. You know, that maybe have one or two other technicians. We do have a couple clients, like we have one client in Ohio that has 16, you know, technicians or so, maybe 12, and he's in the office most of the time. I don't know how we got him on the phone. We were lucky.
Right.
But most of the time we are working with the small guys, you know, that know they need to do this, you know, that are progressive, that want to do this, where we feel that our price point is there, that we can work with you. Our goal is to work with them and help them become bigger. You know, that client that I was telling you about in Houston, it was an owner operator and one tech, and now it's him and three techs.
Gotcha.
You know, so, you know, that's our goal. We want to grow with them. We want to see them, you know, and we get involved in more than just, you know, it's more than just pay us $500 a month to do all this marketing. You know, we, if they're willing to let us, you know, we want to get involved in, you know, how this is having a financial impact, you know,
and, right.
You know, that particular client, I see as P&Ls, you know, and I've worked with them on, what are you spending money over here for? I don't think that this is of value. You know, let's like, he was spending like $2,000 a month on website SEO when we met him. I said, no one care. There's no value. I mean, there's a little bit, but for the most part, when you're on page four on the map, right, and you're spending $2,000 a month to get your website to rank, the website plays a small role, right? Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, when someone's toilet breaks, they're not they're not going to window, you know, or on the weekend, they're not window shopping plumbers' websites just in case a pipe breaks next week, mm-hmm. right? To read about your history. They're most of the time, they're either going to call an ad or they're going to go to the map mm-hmm. and make a call. They don't want to go to the website's another step, mm-hmm. right? The only in my opinion, mm-hmm. right? The only value that that the website, ranking your website would be if you are at the top of the map and then they also see your website, it gives you that much more credibility. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck are you doing? We saved them $1,500 a month just by moving to us. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to increase his revenue as a result of it. So it's like, you know, I think that I have a old friend that, you know, he was in business his whole life and, you know, told me a lot of stuff that I remember. And he would always tell me that the marketing guy, this guy ran big publicly traded companies and mm-hmm. you know, bought and sold company, big like corporate guy. And he always tell me the most important guy in the business is the marketing guy. Mm-hmm. And the marketing guy needs to understand financial statements, mm-hmm. right? You know, because, you know, the best marketing idea to, if you own a restaurant and you want to get, you want your restaurant's not busy. There's nobody in the restaurant. You want to fill the restaurant. Well, the best marketing idea to fill your restaurant is to give away the food for free, right? You'll have a line out the door, but you'll be out of business in a month, you know, because you're not making any money. A good marketing guy has to know, you know, customer acquisition cost and, you know, and different things that he has to know that, you know, the dollars that he's spending on marketing are coming back, you know, tenfold. Right. So we like to get involved in that if our clients will allow us, you know, to really grow with them and to actually, you know, it's not just $500, you know, a month and who knows if it's working, you know, it's about really having like a real plan that we're actually getting somewhere, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And I think that at the end of the day, that speaks to just your personality of leading with transparency. Right. And at the end of the day, the results matter the most, right? Like, you can have an amazing relationship, but if you're not getting results for your clients and your clients not, I guess, bought into the fact that they are getting the results, because there are some cases where it's like you do a good job for somebody, but then they have a different idea of what success means, right?
Sure.
And it's like, maybe it's just that mismatch of expectations, but you know, I really think that's powerful. That's really cool. And I like how, the 500 a month mark, like that is definitely, a very affordable cost, right?
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, are you like, do you have other packages they can buy if they want to like kick things up a notch?
Yeah, we do. So we do add, you know, management. So Brendan, who's one of the part-time, you know, employees that we have, is a Google digital ads like wizard. I mean, this guy's like unbelievable. So we have a few clients that we charge more, you know, to do a manage an advertising campaign. Okay. And then we do have a few clients that we're doing, you know, website SEO work for that will charge more money, you know, when it's applicable, you know. We have a client right now that we're talking to, potential client that we're talking to right now, that getting their website blogs to rank will be very valuable for them, you know. So that's something that we're, you know, exploring. Whereas, you know, with a plumber, I just don't think it's the, you know, I don't think it's the first thing to do in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. We always found that with dentists where ego would almost play a role in the outcome of what they thought was successful. Like if there was an article with their name on it that was getting exposure, even if it wasn't bringing in business, they liked that.
Yeah.
Just because it was their name on it.
Yeah.
And
we see that a lot too.
I imagine. And some, like, I could see that being the case in like a lot of, like, especially like white collar things as well. Like it's interesting to always kind of like figure out what makes somebody's definition of success kind of complete. Right.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you being so transparent. I've learned a lot. What's one thing, if somebody wanted to start a digital agency today, what's one piece of advice you would pass on to them to help them along?
Yeah, I think just kind of picking like a niche, you know, and like coming up with a model like that's very specific. Like for us, it's like plumbers is our main thing, or somebody's service. You know, I think if you can go so broad with digital marketing and online marketing that you could drive yourself crazy. You need to find a model that where you can actually like bring in clients and start to earn revenue, you know, this is not the only thing I want to do. I have bigger plans for this, but we have to make money to stay in business. So, mm-hmm. you know, eventually I hope that we'll be making commercials. Who knows? Right.
Okay. But
I don't think you can start there. You know, I think you have to pick something that's feasible that you can do, you know, that's not going to take you a ton of investment or a ton of people to do, that you can actually start to, you know, bring revenue in for your agency and then, you know, kind of take it from there. That would be my number one piece of advice.
Gotcha. I love that, Sam. Well, thanks so much for joining. Before we close out here, let's go through the three quick fire questions. If any of them don't apply, just feel free to pass. But number sure. one, what's your favorite business or marketing related book?
I have a book right here on my desk that I've been reading. It's called 3 Months to Number One by Will Coombe.
Okay.
I think it's a really good website SEO book. Mm-hmm. This will be my third time reading it. I really like it.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Are you following any CEOs or entrepreneurs right now?
Not really. I don't have enough time. I love Elon Musk. I think he's very inspiring. Anytime I think that I'm busy and I can't manage this, I just think to myself, like, here's this guy, you know, running like 3 or 4 multi-billion dollar companies simultaneously. Suck it up. Get up earlier. You know what I mean? Get more organized. Yeah. So I like hearing from him. He's pretty inspiring.
I love that. His book is amazing. His biography. If you haven't read it, definitely check it out. What's your favorite business podcast?
Huh. I think my favorite business podcast would be Tim Ferriss's podcast. I don't get to listen to it all that often, but he has some pretty interesting guests on sometimes and really smart people. He's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that.
Awesome. Yeah. I love how like wide ranging his guests are. Yeah. It's like you can get from like business moguls to actors and actresses and
right.
everything in between. It's yeah. really interesting.
Yep.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Andrew. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll drop your website in the show notes if anybody wants to find you. And yeah, thanks a lot.
Cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.